Penguin Random House Audio presents Man in the Music, The Creative Life and Work of Michael Jackson by Joseph Vogel. Read for you by Keith Sellenwright. Dedicated to Prince Michael, Paris, and Prince Michael II. Deep inside, I feel that this world we live in is really a big, huge, monumental symphonic orchestra. I believe that in its primordial form, all of creation is sound, and that it's not just random sound, that it's music. Music governs the rhythm of the seasons, the pulse of our heartbeats, the migration of birds, the ebb and flow of ocean tides, the cycles of growth, evolution, and dissolution. It's music. It's rhythm. And my goal in life is to give the world what I was lucky to receive, the ecstasy of divine union through my music and my dance. Michael Jackson. If I'm a musical architect, then let me build monuments with sound. Michael Jackson. Preface to the 2019 Vintage Edition. Michael Jackson's influence on popular culture is difficult to overstate. His sound, style, dancing, and trademarks are all over our contemporary landscape, in the United States and around the world. From his days at Motown Records with the Jackson 5, to the barrier-breaking success of Thriller, to his ill-fated This Is It comeback concert series, he was a unique, ambitious, singular talent. Like many kids who came of age in the 80s, I grew up with Jackson's music. I listened to Beat It on my Walkman. I blasted Man in the Mirror for inspiration. I wore out my VHS tape of Michael Jackson, The Legend Continues, mesmerized by his iconic performance of Billie Jean in Motown 25. As a teenager, I came to appreciate him on a different level. Songs like Stranger in Moscow spoke to my loneliness. Tracks like They Don't Care About Us spoke to my sense of social justice, and anthems like Earth Song spoke to my concern for the future of our planet. For me, Jackson's music was far different and more interesting than traditional pop fare. The subject matter, the scope, the depth, the emotions all went far beyond typical pop sentiments. Yet, strangely, for such an important artist, very little had been written about his creative work prior to his death in 2009. That was particularly true of books on the icon. Compared to artists of similar impact, Elvis Presley, The Beatles, Bob Dylan, the gap was striking. There were two books by the artist himself, the autobiography Moonwalk, 1988, and Dancing the Dream, 1992, a collection of poems and reflections. There was Nelson George's early account, The Michael Jackson Story, 1983, and his subsequent return to that era in the excellent Thriller, The Musical Life of Michael Jackson, 2010. There was J. Randy Tarabarelli's seminal biography, Michael Jackson, The Magic, The Madness, The Whole Story, 1991-2010. And there were a handful of others, some cultural criticism, some fan-created, some tabloid-driven, but nothing explored his work in a comprehensive way. Many publishers were skeptical that a book focused on his artistry would sell, even with the surge of interest following his death in 2009. Jackson, they said, simply didn't have the kind of audience that the Beatles or Dylan or Springsteen did. Sure, he could sell a lot of records, but not enough people wanted to read in-depth explorations of those records. Fortunately, not every publisher felt the same, and my book made its way into the world in the fall of 2011. I didn't know what to expect, but as it turned out, there was indeed a passionate readership waiting for a book like Man in the Music. Some were longtime diehard Jackson fans, some had become interested in the artist after his death, some were simply curious to get a different perspective on the pop star. What was most rewarding was that for the first time in print, Jackson's creative work was front and center. Man in the Music was not about the artist's private life, although it does recognize that his personal life informed his work. It did not foreground the cosmetic surgery or hyperbaric chamber or countless other controversies. It was about Michael Jackson, the artist, how he operated, what he sought to communicate, how his work interacted with the culture in which it was created and released. A figure of Jackson's stature deserved that treatment long before I wrote my book. The first edition had a great run, but for years after its publication, I was anxious to tweak, revise, and improve it. So I went back to work. Over the years, I had accumulated an enormous library of Jackson-related materials. My Google Docs were packed with interviews, notes from the artist, obscure articles, track sheets, session calendars, and other pieces of the puzzle. In addition to my own work, a wave of new books, documentaries, think pieces, academic articles, and monographs on Jackson were released. Filmmaker Spike Lee directed two critically acclaimed documentaries, Bad 25, 2012, and Michael Jackson's Journey from Motown to Off the Wall, 2016. Scholar Susan Fast published an outstanding book-length treatment of the Dangerous album as part of Bloomsbury Academic's popular 33 and a Third series. Forbes journalist Zach O'Malley-Greenberg published an insightful book, Michael Jackson, Inc., 2014, on Jackson's business acumen. Rolling Stone writer Steve Knopper published a compelling new biography, MJ, The Genius of Michael Jackson, 2015. In addition to this new content, musician and journalist Questlove taught a classic albums class on Jackson at New York University. Scholar and author Mark Anthony Neal began offering a regular course on the artist at Duke University titled Michael Jackson and the Black Performance Tradition. Meanwhile, an array of new platforms arose dedicated to exploring his life and work, including Michael Jackson Academic Studies, the MJ Cast, and Dancing with the Elephant. I am grateful to so many fellow Michael Jackson authors, biographers, researchers, and fans for their contributions and insights. Their names, too many to list here, are cited in the acknowledgments. I'm especially indebted to Michael Jackson's collaborators, including Quincy Jones, Rod Temperton, Bruce Swedeen, Greg Fillinganes, Louis Johnson, David Williams, Paulino da Costa, John Robinson, Johnny Mandel, Jerry Hay, Buzz Cohan, Steve Porcaro, Jeff Porcaro, David Paich, Steve Lukather, Michael Boddicker, Matt Forger, Brad Sundberg, Bill Bottrell, John Barnes, Chris Carell, the Andre Crouch Choir, Brian Lauren, George Del Barrio, Teddy Riley, Brad Buxer, Michael Prince, Chuck Wild, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, David Foster, Dallas Austin, Rob Hoffman, Dr. Freeze, Babyface, and Rodney Jerkins. Not only did many of these individuals talk to me for hours about their time working with Jackson for the first edition, many also helped with my follow-up questions as I prepared this second edition. This book would not be what it is without their invaluable stories, insights, notes, session calendars, demos, track sheets, and other important documents. So, what's different about this new edition? First, it contains many more behind-the-scenes details from the studio. From further research and conversations with those who worked closely with Jackson, I was able to fill in a lot of gaps and present a much more accurate timeline in terms of how, when, and where his albums were made. This is perhaps the most important addition. I felt it was crucial to make the history as vivid and accurate as possible. Second, I've tried to set the record straight where possible. There is a lot of mythology surrounding the work of Michael Jackson. It can be difficult to separate fact from fiction. I got some things wrong in the first edition, which have been corrected and fleshed out here, based on my most credible sources. Sometimes collaborators tell conflicting stories or remember things differently. In those cases, I've either told both sides or gone with what makes the most sense given the evidence available. Third, it truly focuses on the music. The first edition was mostly about the music, but also included information on Jackson's short films and performances. Ultimately, I felt that coverage was too thin, so I decided for this book that it would be better to use that space to go more deeply into the music. This book, then, is entirely about the songs and albums, not the short films, tours, performances, business dealings, or other activities.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?